Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And we'll read a portion of this. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great prayer, huh? Don't we want people to have God's grace? I want people to be saved. I want people to get saved. And I want saved people to not live in guilt and shame anymore. I want saved people to live free in liberty and feel the freedom that God has given us and to not be weighed down by the... Look, everybody's got burdens. I know. Everybody's got burdens. But we trust God in those things and we ask God to show us our part. God, what can I do to help? And if God doesn't give us something to do to help, all we can do is leave it in His hands. And if we try to help, if God hasn't given us a part, we might get in the way and mess things up. So we put it in His hands, and we trust Him with it, and we trust Him for that peace that passes understanding. I know I'm going to heaven. Having a conversation with one of the boys on the way home from school today, and he said, Dad, you can't get to heaven in a plane. I said, no. You can't go to heaven in a car. No. He said, there's only one way to heaven. I said, that's right. He said, die. That's it. That's the only way to get there. Amen. That's good preaching. He's right. Unless we get raptured out, that's the only way we're going to get there. y'all thought I was going to say Jesus, didn't you? He knows that part, but that's not where He's going. But that peace, guys, we have peace. I have peace that my loved ones, my friends that leave this life are there. They're not waiting to get there. They're not in a holding cell somewhere. They're not held back until I pay enough money or do enough good deeds to get them there. When they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, it was secured. And when they closed their eyes here, they opened them there. And one day we're going to do that. One day we're going to do that. We're going to be in heaven. And that's peace. I have that peace. I know. I try not to watch the news or listen to talk radio, all that. I listen to little bits like, and then I have to turn the channel because it'll just get you wrapped up, get you so uptight and so nervous about what's going on in the world. There's a lot in the world that I'm uncomfortable with. But you know what I know? I know God's got a calendar. And on that calendar, He's got a date set when He's going to take us home. And I know also that it's going to get worse before that happens. And the things we see going on in the world, look, none of us want this to happen in our day. But I'm ready. I'm ready to go. As the Lord leads us that way, and then as we're raptured out of here, taken home, I'm ready. And so we have to understand it's in God's hand. Now I'm going to do my part. I'm going to vote. By the way, I'm going to carry a gun. I'm going to do all the things I need to do to protect myself and my family. I'm going to lock my door at night and lock my car too. I do all those things. I'm not saying be idiotic, but we have to have trust in God, knowing that when we have done all that we can do, all that we're supposed to do, that it's in His hands. And we can trust Him. Now look, if we do everything we're supposed to do, bad things still happen, don't they? But I trust Him. I trust Him. And so I've got a peace that passes understanding. I pray about things. I pray about big things. And I just trust Him. And I put it in His hands. And I say, Lord, I just trust You. And I'm going to stop trying to make it work. I'm going to just let You work it out if it's Your will. If it's not Your will, I'm going to let it go. That's how it works. Peace. And grace. I have that grace. He's forgiven my sins. And we ought to also not only have that grace, but we ought to show that grace. We ought to extend that grace and love people and forgive people. Look at what he says in verse 4, and I agree with him on this. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf. Yes, I do. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the ones who are tuned in. And by the way, we've got people who tune in that are not members of the church, but I'm still thankful for them. And I still love you, and I still pray for you, and I'm glad you're there. And we ought to be thankful for the people that God puts in our lives. And he said, I thank God always on your behalf. For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm glad Robert's saved. I'm glad Michelle's saved. I'm glad Christina's saved. John's saved. I won't keep going, but I'm glad you're saved. I thank God for the grace he's given you. I thank God. And look, I know the testimonies. I've been in church my whole life, and I've seen what God can do with somebody who will turn their lives over to him. I've seen the difference. I've seen the difference in their demeanor. I've seen the difference in their attitude. I've seen the difference in their success. I've seen the difference in the way people are attracted to them and the way that they help other people. I've seen their lives changed when they got the grace of God, when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and surrendered themselves. Now, there's people that get saved, and they accept God's grace, but they don't surrender. And not much changes. The only thing that changes is there's an internal struggle that begins to take place because all the stuff they used to do that they continue to do now goes against the spiritual nature of Jesus Christ that is in them. And so once they got saved, look at what he says. Remember he said, it's like a dog that's returned to his vomit. The end is worse than the beginning. In other words, their experience here is going to be worse because they're saved and they won't get away from that sin. Their experience is going to be worse. It's going to be more of a struggle now that they're saved and struggling with those spiritual things because they won't let go of the sin. If they let go of the sin, they find freedom. They find peace. He says in verse 5 that in everything you're enriched by him. Life has changed. Enriched. It got better. Life got better. Now, I've been in church my whole life, and I walked the aisle at the age of 5, and I'm not saying I've never lived outside of God's will, but I've been saved almost all my life. But I still, when I surrendered to God, my life was enriched. When I truly gave all to God, my life got better. And yours will too. When you surrender all to God, when you accept all of him and you give him all of you, life gets better. He says you're enriched by him. Next in verse 5, he says in all utterance, in all the things that you have to say. How many of us have grown in our faith and we are well versed in the scriptures? I was in the car and listening. J. Vernon McGee was on the radio and he was quoting scriptures. And one of the kids heard what the scripture, and they've already learned it. And so he was saying it back. All we like sheep have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They'd already learned that. In all utterance, knowing the Word of God, knowing the mind of God, knowing the heart of God. You want to know how you know the mind and heart of God? Read His book. Read His book. How many of you wish that men or women or children came with a manual? I mean, I wish I had a manual sometimes when it comes to parenting and when it comes to being a husband. Well, I need to look that one up. But when it comes to being a Christian, we got one. When it comes to being a child of God, we've got a manual. And we need to look at it and we need to understand it because it's about us and our walk with Him. And so we need to know the Word of God. And He says you are enriched because you surrendered your life, because you're walking in grace, you're walking in the peace that comes by trusting God. He said you are enriched in utterance. You don't talk like a child of faith anymore. You talk like an adult of faith. You've grown. You've grown. And I tell you, that's so important. That's why it's so important that we stay in the Word. In the Word. That we be biblical. So we know what the Bible says. Because it doesn't matter what the preacher says or even what the church says unless it's what the Bible says. That's where our doctrine, that's where our confidence comes from. And in all knowledge. Not just in what we say, but in what we actually know. That we can have confidence in our soul winning. Confidence in evangelism. Confidence in discipleship. Confidence in preaching. Anybody ever come to you and say, what do you believe about such and such? Or what does the Bible say about such and such? Anybody ever have somebody come to you and say that? So what do you say? Do you say, well, the Bible says? Or do you say, well, my preacher always says? The Pahokee translation says. It ought to be what the Bible says. Now, understand, the Pahokee translation is a version of the Bible. It's just never been written. It's just a way to understand things. He says, not as children. He doesn't say it here, but this is what he's saying. Not in children, not children in faith, but adults in faith. Later, he says, remember, you should be eating the meat of faith, and you're still drinking milk. Guys, I'm glad Jesus died for me. And I'm glad he was buried and rose the third day. But there's more to Christianity than that. And that's the foundation. And you can't go anywhere without that. But we need more than that to grow spiritually and to help people and for our lives to be changed. It starts there. Don't misunderstand me. Without the blood of Jesus, we're nothing. We're nowhere. We're wasting our time and beating the air. It starts there, but there's more to it. We've got to grow in faith. He says, and we've been enriched in our words. We've been enriched in our understanding. How do we know that? He doesn't know that because of what's in them. He knows that because what's in them is coming out of them. Because they're living it. Because they're applying it. Because they're sharing it. And that's what the church is supposed to do. People don't recognize you as a Christian unless you talk about it. They don't know what you know until you tell them. Yes, it's about how we live. Yes, it's about the example that we show. But how are they going to know if we don't tell them? He says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What does that mean? That means that God can change lives. And they're evidence. They are proof. They are walking, living proof that Jesus changes lives. Are we? Is it confirmed? And when people talk about a Christian and what happens when a lost man gets saved or when a sinner turns life over to Jesus, are we a good example of that? Look at that. Those people up there, look, they weren't always like that. I don't want to hear your testimonies of when you were a sinner, but I know you were. I don't want to know about what happened before you came to Jesus or even if you were saved but never got serious, but I want to see what happens after you've surrendered to God. I want to see what He can do. Because I know He can do it. I know He can change our lives. He's changed mine. Verse 7, so that you can come behind in no gift. You're not missing anything in this thing called Christianity. You've got everything. I know that there are ideas and doctrines and teachings out there that, you know, there are things that the Baptists don't do, but that God has promised. I want you to know we are full on. We believe everything. There's no gift. We're not behind from anybody. God can do anything He wants to do. I don't limit God. God cannot be limited. But there, you're not behind on any gift. If God wants you to preach, you'll preach. If God doesn't want you to preach, don't try. If God wants you to win souls, then He'll give you the unction. That is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the words, the utterance. We just saw that. He'll give you the knowledge. No, you need to study, but He'll give you what you need to help people find Christ. If God hadn't called you to be a singer, if God hasn't given you the wondrous voice, I told you about a funeral I did a few months ago. And they at the graveside, we sung, we had sheet music, we passed it out. There were 10 people there because that was the limit. Couldn't have more than 10. And the daughter of the deceased has a beautiful voice. I mean, exceptional. God has given her a gift. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't have the same gift she's got. But God gave me what I need and gave her what she needs. And she's got to use hers and I got to use mine. But I'm not behind. I shouldn't feel jealous or slighted or shorted because I didn't get what she got. He says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something we're waiting for. We're not behind in anything. We're ready. We're not waiting on something to happen. We've got everything we need. There's nothing that you don't have that you need. So don't think, well, I hope the Lord doesn't come back until I get such and such. Right now, you can pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. From your heart to God's heart, say, God, I am a sinner, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save me. And God, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. And you're not behind in anything. He writes your name in the book of life. Your sins are washed away. Your soul saved. You're heaven bound. Now, next step is to get baptized. I know a fellow who wanted to get baptized. He was in his 80s, got saved. Walked the aisle Sunday morning. He told the pastor, he said, Pastor, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. Got saved in his 80s. And he said, and I want to get baptized too. And the pastor says, well, we'll schedule that at the end of the month. He said, no, sir, I want to get baptized today. I waited long enough. They baptized him Sunday night. He died Tuesday. I'm glad he got it baptized. I'm glad he took care of his salvation on Sunday. I'm glad he got baptized Sunday night. And I'm glad he didn't wait. And I'm glad nobody made him wait. He came behind in no gift for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we ready? If he comes tonight, are we ready? Are we praying that he will? Amen. Or is there something we've got to do? Something I'm holding back. I really want to do this, but I'm waiting till I retire. Don't wait till you retire. God's got something on your heart. It's time. Do it. Get after it. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. There needs to be harmony in the church. Look at what's going on in our country. Divided right down the middle. Hopefully not right down the middle. Hopefully there's more on the good side, right? Whichever side you say that is. But there's such division. People don't even talk civilly. People destroy other people's stuff just because they don't agree with it. There's so much chaos and division and contention. That's no way for a country to be, and it's no way for a family to be, and it's certainly no way for a church to be. Church shouldn't have such contention in it. It'd be harmony, speaking the same thing, having no division, perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. Thus it hath been declared to me of you, brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. He named his source, didn't he? He didn't say, well, I heard. Somebody said, they're telling me. No, he said, Chloe said it. It was told to me of the house of Chloe, those who are the house of Chloe. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He wasn't keeping score, was he? He knew who had baptized. A handful. He said, guys, that wasn't me. Baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Not my own name. Name of the Lord. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know what we need to do? Get people saved. Show them the way of Christ. Show them the way of salvation. Do they want to get baptized? Do they need to get baptized? Sure. But you know what they need first? Salvation. We shouldn't baptize anybody that's not saved. Because you can't. If you got baptized and you weren't saved, all you got was wet. You didn't get baptized. Paul said, stop these divisions. Stop holding up these preachers and these ministers in such high regard that you forget why you're here. And that can happen. And we've got to be careful about that. He says, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect, because we've got our eyes on the wrong thing. Our eyes should be on Christ. Our heart should be on Jesus. Verse 18, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There are people who don't believe in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They don't believe it. They don't believe Jesus died for them. In fact, I've seen some get very angry and animated about the idea that they don't believe it. Then why are they so animated about it? If it's not true and it makes no difference, why do you care? But they do care because there's something inside of them that's placed there by God that says, come to me. And the only way to come to God is through Jesus. But to them, it's foolishness. To us, it's the power of God. God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Isn't it incredible? Then in all the things of science, you know, we always talk about science and medicine and technology and all these things that everybody's so invested in. But how many of us still have a phone and we have to ring the side of it and say, Sarah, will you get me Barney down at the station? No, what happens? You do have one in your house. No, does it work? You call, Sarah, ring me Juanita down at the diner. We don't have that, do we? What happened? It got superseded. It got pushed aside. It said, oh, that's foolish. What you need is one of these. You ring it around, ring it around, ring it around. Right? Somebody came along and said, oh, that's foolish. You don't need that. You can push a button and hold on to it, but just don't go too far from the wall because it's connected. Right? And then what happened? Somebody come along and said, oh, what's that? You don't need that. You need one of these portable phones. You put it right here on this charger. When it rings, you can pick it up, walk anywhere in the house you want to. Wow. We didn't keep going back, holding on to that one. And, oh, no, this is science. We've got to hold on to this because we can't leave this. No, we developed. We grew. Now we've got them in our pockets and on our hips, on our belt, and in your purse, and carry them around. You can drive 70 miles an hour. I said that for Sister Gladys. You can drive 70 miles an hour down the interstate and talk on the phone. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Even plug it into the charger in the car. We didn't hold on to that got pushed aside. It got overcome. The wisdom of the world. Now, don't you know when that thing came out, boy, that was the best thing ever. But God made it foolishness. God said, no, you don't need that. You need something better. You need something better. What happened with medicine? How many of you still use those old antidotes? I'm not talking about aloe on a burn. That works. I'm talking about cocaine in your Coca-Cola. Don't tell me if you do, please. No, we don't do that. Why? Because we figured out that wasn't the best thing to do. You see, so that became, that wisdom that was so wise became foolishness. Isn't that how it works in science and medicine and technology? We keep pushing stuff aside and say there's something better. There's something better. But let me tell you something. Ain't nothing ever been better than this. It hadn't changed. How you get saved, how they got saved, how he came to save us hadn't changed in all that time. Now, you might put it on your iPad and say, look, I got the Bible on my iPad. That's fine. But the message is still the same. You don't get saved any differently today than they got saved back then. By God's wisdom, he made their wisdom foolishness, and his is outlast all of theirs. And it will. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I guess this is self-serving, but I'm glad we still have a preacher at our church. I mean, hey, I like music. And I like singing groups and choirs And I don't mind drama. But you need preaching. You need preaching. You know what God said? God said, all the developments they got, we're going to still do the same old thing. Still just like John the Baptist was. Dressed a little differently, but still preaching the same stuff. God hadn't changed his message. Verse 22, Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. We're still preaching it. It's still the only way. To the Jews, that's a stumbling block. It's in their way. They keep tripping over it. They can't get past that. I love people that I wish would get saved. They're my friends and I want them to go to heaven, but they just keep tripping over it. They can accept all of the Ten Commandments. They accept all the ideas of love your neighbor and do unto others as you would have them. They can accept all of those peripheral rules. But when it comes to the Savior, by grace through faith, they trip over it. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. They're too smart for it. They're too smart for it. And yet, their message changes. Go to college. They're not teaching the same thing in college today they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. In fact, in some areas of study, they're not teaching the same thing they taught 2 years ago. We're still preaching the same thing. Who's smart? Who had it figured out first? I'm not against education, but I'm telling you, and you got to change what you teach because things change. This never changes. And we better teach the same thing. Because if we try to change this, we're wrong. Unto them which are called, both Jews, Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. What is he saying? God uses the broken and the weak. But you know what he does? He makes us stronger. He builds us up. He doesn't leave us weak and broken. He reforms us and remakes us and rebuilds us. And when Paul looked at the church at Corinth in this letter, he said, guys, I thank God because I see what he's doing in you. I see what he's done. I see the difference. You're enriched. Your life has changed. You're better off today than you were before you got serious with God. And I just wish people could understand that. Going back. Struggling. Internal struggle. Why? Because you're trying to hang on to this world, but you belong in that world. Trying to hold on to the sin. Trying to hold on to that stuff. And God's already freed you from all that stuff. You know, when you were chained to it as a sinner, it wasn't as hard to carry. Because you just drug it along with you. But now all those chains have been broken. So you can't just drag it anymore. You've got to carry it. God doesn't intend for us to carry that stuff in the new life. He's freed us from it. Let's stand. Father, we love you and we're thankful for this lesson. God, that we should look to you, that we should not be followers of men, preachers, pastors, denominations, but we should be set our hearts, our minds, our eyes on you. So God, live through us, enrich us in utterance and knowledge, that we can make a difference, that our friends, our family, those around us will know Christ as they see you living through us. Forgive our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.